It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan. And here's your host, Steve Ryan.
It's Backstage Pass with Steve Ryan, and I am so thrilled at our next guest. We have Ivan Doroshuk from Men Without Hats, and I am such a fan, I have to tell you, that I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day and joining us. I think you're in Canada today, right?
Yeah, on the West Coast.
Yeah, is it chilly?
No, it's nice. It's always nice. Vancouver Island's a beautiful place.
There you go. We've got a nice day happening here. I know, You are just a man of endless talents, it seems. I mean, you obviously a vocalist, but as I was doing some research into the man, I mean, you play the guitar, you play the bass, you play keyboards, you play synthesizers. I mean, you do it all. What don't you do, I guess, is the question.
Well, I come from a musical family. My mother was a music teacher, a voice teacher at McGill University. So we grew up in a very musical family, so I was very fortunate.
And that must explain, because I was reading about your brother Colin, and you both play a lot of instruments.
Yeah, Colin's actually the head of the voice department now at the Victoria Conservatory of Music, where we live, and that's the reason why he's taken a break from the band, and his daughter Sahara is now joined the band with us.
It's a family affair. Excellent. Well, let's talk about, obviously, I think a lot of people want to hear about the Safety Dance, because that's, I mean, when people think Men Without Hats, Safety Dance, I think, is the first thing that comes to mind. And that was back in 82, I believe. And so what I remember, well, first of all, when I had mentioned to my son that I was doing an interview with you today, and he had sent me about an hour or so later a video of my granddaughter jamming out in the back seat of their car to the Safety Dance. So that song, it's so important to a lot of us who loved it back when it was new, but we pass it on to our kids, and now a third generation is loving it. So how do you react to that?
I'm blessed. We're very, very fortunate to have crossed generations like that. It's that's what I tell people all the time. The great thing about playing live now is I see my original fans in the crowd, and they bring their kids and sometimes their grandkids. So I'm truly blessed. We're lucky that the song, well, Safety Dance especially, has embedded itself in popular culture, and it's thanks to shows like The Simpsons and The Family Guy, but also a show like Glee brought us a whole new generation of listeners. So we're lucky.
It transcends the generations. It's and not everybody has that.
No, it's true. I think I've been asked what the reason was, and I think it's the message. I think people still need to be told that they can dance if they want to. It's as simple as that, and the fact that we didn't have a uniform, the video helped us with that too. When the video for Safety Dance came out, everybody was expecting an 80s look with spiked hair and zipper clothes and pointy shoes, and to have a medieval kind of Pied Piper kind of setting. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause the friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance, dance, dance. It was in the medieval village. Kind of gave it a timeless quality, and so you can watch the video now and sort of, if you turn the sound down, you don't even know when it was made, you know. It's, you don't even know what it's, what, yeah, what's going on.
So you're right,
like a western, you know?
And it helped the song, I think, stand out because the video was much different than you know, all the other videos that were playing at the time.
Exactly, absolutely.
Yeah, when the song came out, I was actually a club DJ. I was working in a nightclub. And of course, when you work in nightclubs and you're putting a set together, you start kind of with the, you kind of build up your beats per minute up to a slow song, and then you start over again. And Safety Dance, if I remember right, was about 110 beats per minute. So it was usually right at the beginning of a set. And so we would go out of the slow song, and what I would do is I would play Ban the Game. I would start it right there, and on the album, it went from Ban the Game into the Safety Dance. And so everyone knew when Ban the Game came on what was coming up next, and the dance floor just packed. Is really is it an intro? I mean, it's a short little ditty.
Yeah, it was an intro to the album. Actually, it's on the. It's funny because on the that only happened on the American album, on the American release. On the rest of the world, the song Ban the Game led into a song called Living in China, which wasn't even on the the American release. It was replaced by Antarctica. So it was an intro to the album.
Right, right. And Antarctica did pretty well as well. The Safety Dance was a number three hit, I mean, here in the States. Did you realize how big the song was at the time?
Not at the time, no. It's something that, you know, sort of exactly like he says, you don't really have time to sort of sit back and analyze the situation. And now I feel that the song is actually bigger than me and bigger than the band. It's sort of... it's been taken out of my hands. It belongs to everybody. It belongs to the whole world now. Sometimes I feel like a traveling museum curator going around presenting this musical artifact that brings people immense joy. So it's quite unusual.
Yeah, yeah. And but you know, that's not... I mean, you've got quite a variety of music out there, and you've had the hits. They just continue to go. And you know, Pop Goes the World was one I remember playing on the radio. And but I was going over some of, as I knew we were going to have this conversation, and I was going over, you know, just some of your catalog, and it reminded me that that you've done some pretty... I guess what came to my mind is you've Ivan'd some cover songs as well, and it reminded me of you covered ABBA's SOS. And then, but you've also covered the Beatles' I Am the Walrus. And so I was thinking to myself, and I love your versions of those, and that's why I call them you Ivan'd them. But between SOS and, you know, ABBA, and then you have the Beatles, there's a lot in between there, and they're very different genres, I guess. So tell me about your influences in because I was trying to figure that out, and then when I realized, yeah, well, he's covered ABBA and he's covered the Beatles, and you know, obviously his own work. Where did your influences come from?
Well, that's it. I sort of grew up with the Beatles. The Beatles, I come from I always say the songwriting school of the Beatles. It's the Beatles songwriting school. That's where I think I learned how to write songs, by listening to the Beatles. And for me, it's all pop music. It's just pop music. So for me, the Beatles and ABBA are kind of the same band. It's they're making good, really quality pop songs. And, you know, I've always said anyway that another thing I like to say is that there's no, for me, there's no difference between Miles Davis and Justin Bieber. You know, we're all just entertainers. You know, we're all doing the same thing. The music is subjective. You like what you like, and everybody's out there doing the same thing, you know. So, but as far as songs go, you know, it's the thing about quality pop songs, and that's where I grew up. I'm fortunate to have grown up in, you know, the late 60s and 70s, and the 70s was probably still the best decade for music creation. I mean, it saw the birth of so many musical genres, from heavy metal to funk to disco to everything was punk rock. Everything was created in the 70s, and every other decade after that has just been sort of a rehash of what went on in the 70s. You know, even 80s new wave music, I've always said that for me, I mean, I was a keyboard player primarily, so I grew up listening to a lot of progressive English, you know, progressive rock bands like Genesis and Pink Floyd and Yes and King Crimson. And I was front and center in the disco movement also as well. And for me, new wave music, 80s music is just, it's prog rock with mixed with disco. It's synthesizer music with a dance beat. So that's like I said, you know, every decade that's come after that has been a rehash of the 70s. And even today, I mean, one of my theories is that, you know, 80s is making a big comeback now, because you listen to pop music on the radio today, and contemporary pop music is quite influenced by the 80s. You hear the big 80s drum sounds, you hear the synthesizers, robot voices, you know, it's good. And songs are coming back. There's more songs on the radio now. So it's good.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about the, you know, cause I'm a huge fan of 80s new wave, but it makes sense now that you kind of put your thoughts out there. You take the different genres of the 70s and you put those together, and then you have the new wave sound. It makes total sense. And you're exactly right. And it was very, very creative. And it seemed like that's when the gates opened. There didn't seem to be any filters. I mean, record companies were taking chances on this new sound, and we're really fortunate.
Well, we're lucky too. There's a lot of good songs too, a lot of sing-alongs in the 80s. There was a lot of melodies that people still remember, and it was a happier time. That's why I think people like to go back there. It's like disco too. Disco is still around because it was a dance music, and people have to dance. And the 80s too, I mean, the clothes were flashy, the colors were bright, and the hairstyles were, you know, big and loud. And I think it harkens back to more fun times. I think that's why people like it.
Yeah. You guys put an album out back in 2022, again, part two, right? And I was spending some time listening to that this morning. And what is your plan creatively? Are you planning on going back in the studio, or where are you at as far as your creative process these days?
We're heading back in the studio in about a month, just before we head out on tour this summer. We've got a big summer tour planned with Thomas Dolby and the Thompson Twins. And I'm going to be going in the studio to record a new single, actually, that we're going to be releasing in the fall for our Canadian tour. And we're also putting out a live recording going out on vinyl for the tour this summer. So that's going to be good.
And are there USA dates?
USA, the tour this summer is mostly in the States. It's all, we start in Seattle.
Right. I thought I'd seen that.
The country. We do the whole country.
And I think the tour schedule I was looking at, I found on your website, safetydance.com. So Men Without Hats fans can go to your website and find out the closest show near them and go and check you guys out. It sounds like a great show. I would love to see the three of you guys. Talk about a night, you know, that you just wouldn't forget.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And Ivan, I just can't tell you what a thrill it is to talk to you. I've been an admirer of your music since 1982, And here we are talking today. Good luck on your tour. I'm really excited that you're going to be in the States, and American audience is going to have a chance to see you guys perform again. And when you get some that new music out, maybe we can sit down and talk about that and let the, you know, our viewers listen to that and talk about the new stuff. Thank you very much.
Nice talking to you.
For questions or comments, email Steve at steveryan.songoftheday@gmail.com.